In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dearly loved by God in Christ, in a good-sized room under the football stadium at the University of Tennessee, there are lots of boxes. And those boxes are full of skeletons of all sizes and parts of skeletons. That room is connected with what's commonly called the body farm and is part of the forensic pathology department at the university. Here is the question. Can those bones live? That's exactly the question that the Holy Spirit asked the prophet Ezekiel while the children of Israel were in captivity in Babylon. The Spirit took the prophet out and in a vision showed him a valley which had its floor covered with dry bones. And the Spirit told the prophet that there was only one thing that could give life to those dry bones, the word of the Lord. And he commanded Ezekiel to prophesy to those bones, and prophesy really means not to tell the future, but to speak the word of the Lord to those bones. And Ezekiel, being a faithful prophet, obeyed, and those bones came to life. That was the result. Now, we know that there is a much deeper application here and a much deeper spiritual meaning. And that is that the Holy Spirit conscripts a vast army. And we see, first of all, in this deeper spiritual meaning, that the Holy Spirit was showing the prophet and us how he conscripts a vast army of spiritual corpses. And secondly, that the means that he uses to do that is only the word of the Lord. The prophet Ezekiel's vision of the valley of the dry bones is not about the general resurrection of the dead on Judgment Day when Jesus returns. The book of Revelation calls that the second resurrection. The Holy Spirit was showing the prophet and us what the book of Revelation calls the first resurrection. It is the resurrection of a spiritual corpse from unbelief to faith. It is the resurrection, the first resurrection, that most, if not all of us here today, experienced at the baptismal font. God's visible church, Israel, in captivity in Egypt, had become a spiritual corpse. They no longer trusted in the Lord to deliver them. They felt that they were forsaken. They were never see the holy city again. And so the Holy Spirit appeared to the prophet and told him, I want you to bring them back to life. I want you to breathe into them new life as God's people so that they would again rely on the Lord, that they would be faithful to him, that they would have that certain hope of one day again seeing their holy homeland and Jerusalem. And so by doing so, the Holy Spirit showed Ezekiel that he would conscript a vast Old Testament army, a remnant of the church that would return one day to Jerusalem. 50 days after his resurrection from the dead, Jesus kept his promise and sent his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, upon the disciples who were with probably a little over a million other people, had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Old Testament festival of Pentecost. It was one of the three times a year when every Jew was to try to get to the holy city. And it was there that the gospel lesson for today was kept, that God poured out on his church the Holy Spirit. They already had it, but this was a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit on his church to give them the courage and the knowledge and the ability to speak in foreign languages that they had never studied so that they could share the Word of God with the people in the city. The Holy Spirit would gather again a vast army from spiritual corpses in a sudden and vast way. God added about 3,000 believers to his church on Pentecost. This conscription of believers from death to life, from unbelief to faith, continues today as you and I go out into the world with the word of the Lord, knowing that those spiritual corpses out there, just like us, can live, that we can have new life, that we can know and worship the one true God, and will one day return to our homeland of heaven and dwell in the holy city of Jerusalem. We don't always know how that's going to turn out when we share the word of the Lord. In fact, the Holy Spirit said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And Ezekiel gave the correct answer. "O Lord, you alone know if whether these bones will live. Only you know." You and I don't know when we take the word of the Lord out whether or not somebody's going to believe it or not. But the Lord knows. And so you and I carry out that word, not knowing who will believe it and who won't. But with visions and words like this, what do we know? That it can make dry bones live. That's the way that spiritual corpses are brought to life, just like we were brought to life by the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The new life that filled the hearts of those Israelites, that filled the people on Pentecost and fills us, is what the Apostle Paul writes about in Romans 6, that as many as are baptized into Christ are baptized into his death, but are also given his new life. Now there too, Paul's not talking about our physical resurrection from the dead on the last day, although that's real. We know that's going to happen. But Paul again is talking about that first resurrection, from being spiritual corpses to having that new life of faith, that new life of the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. In other words, as we died with Christ to our sins, we now live that new life, which is Christ's life. As a nation, Judah was dead, but God promised through Ezekiel that they would have new life. They would again manifest their love for God. They would now live their lives in hope and with a future trusting in God. So think of that spiritual resurrection when the Spirit told Ezekiel, "Say to my people, I am going to open your graves." And here he's talking about the graves of our dead hearts. "I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel." There was no resurrection of the dead before Israel went back to Israel. But there was the restoration and the renewing of the people's faith through the promise of the coming Savior. That was our spiritual condition, by nature lifeless, listless, without hope. We were like those dry bones scattered across that valley floor. We have no natural desire to live in Christ. We have no native ability to do so. But what has the Holy Spirit done for us? He has breathed into us the breath of life, so that we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior from sin and prophesy His name to all the world. Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 2, "Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." Pentecost reminds us of that Holy Spirit's conscription of that vast army from spiritual corpses. But it reminds us also of the means by which He does that, by the means of grace. I heard a preacher on TV the other day was talking about when he was in prison for stealing from his flock, that he would have these visions and the Holy Spirit would speak to him and reveal to him what he was supposed to do in the future. Entirely apart from God's Word, entirely apart from the means of grace. Could the Holy Spirit work apart from the means of grace? Sure, He's God. Does He? No, because He confines Himself to the means of grace, the gospel in word and sacrament that He gives the church as the means to give new life to spiritual corpses. And the one thing we want to remember about Pentecost, it's not so much about the tongues of fire. It's not so much about the sound of the rushing wind. It's not so much about the fact that these disciples, not that they suddenly could speak in some gibberish heavenly language, but that they could now speak in the languages of all these different people from the Mediterranean basin. The thing really about Pentecost is what the disciples said. It's what the disciples did with this ability that God had given them. It wasn't to strengthen their own faith. It wasn't to assure them, apart from the cross, that God loved them. It was given to them for one purpose, that they could tell the wonders of God to the people they met. The wonders of God particularly being the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was on that day that God kept His promise, and they conveyed the wonders of God. Let's see how Peter did that particularly. Not just the gospel, but in preparation for that, the law. Peter stood up in front of that crowd. This was the man who denied Christ, who at one time with the other disciples hid but behind locked doors. This is the man now who, by the power of the Spirit, Christ's Spirit, stood before thousands of people and said, "Let all Israel be assured of this. God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Peter told them, "You crucified Christ. It's your sins and your guilt that put Jesus on the cross." Dear friends, take Peter's words to your heart. Be assured of this: you crucified Christ. It was our sin and our guilt and our rebellion against God that put His Son, our Savior, there. Now those who are cut to the heart, please join in those words with them. What shall we do? How can we be saved? How can we have a right relationship with God? How can we go to heaven? What shall we do means we know there's nothing that we can do except be lost. And then Peter applied the sweet and healing gospel that purifies our hearts, as David writes in Psalm 51, "Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." And Peter invited them, and the Holy Spirit invites you, through the Word, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sin. The Holy Spirit brought about 3,000 spiritual corpses to new life that day by preaching the word of the Lord, law and gospel. Doing what Ezekiel said to the people, "Hear the word of the Lord, I will make breath enter you," the Spirit said, "and you will come to life." This morning we tie ascension 10 days ago, 40 days after the resurrection, with Pentecost, because it is in the assurance of Christ's resurrection or ascension, resurrection and ascension, that He has given us the Spirit in the Word of the Lord to take out into the nation. You and I pray, create in me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. You and I may not know whether the word of the Lord, where the word of the Lord will actually do its work, but we know that it can and does because it's done it on me. And He promises that He will do it in others. Think of those bones again underneath the football stadium down in Knoxville. Can those bones live? One day they will, in the second resurrection. One day all those bones will return to life. And they will once again have tendons and sinews and flesh placed on them as those people rise from the dead to face Christ. But in the meantime, there's even a greater restoration going on. There's even a greater resurrection going on as you and I share the word of the Lord in the strength of our ascended Savior and in the wisdom of the Counselor who has come to us. To us and to all who are cut to the heart by our sins, Peter's words of promise are life-giving. The promise of Christ is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Amen.